إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. We have been speaking about the purpose of our creation, and we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have not created the human beings and the jinn for anything, any purpose other than my ibadah. The ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And we talked about how we can convert our entire life, every action that we do, into an action of worship. And today I want to remind myself and you about two very critical elements of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protection for us. The important thing to understand and remember is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ordering us to do his dhikr because he needs it. Allah does not need anybody's dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, his position, his glory, his majesty is independent of the dhikr, of the remembrance of any of his makhluq. As far as the remembrance of the makhluq is concerned, Rasulullah ﷺ said that there are malaika on every level of the heavens who are in different positions of ibadah. There are malaika who are in the position of ruku, and they remain in that position till the day of judgment. And he said there are malaika in the position of sujood, and they remain in that position until the day of judgment, and so forth. And in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the angel or the angels who are in a position of sujood, and they have been in that position of sujood from the time Allah created them till the day of judgment, they will, when they get up from that position of sujood by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they see Allah, they will say, by Allah, we have not fulfilled the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadah. After having been in that position of sujood and making dhikr of Allah in this position of sujood, for in terms of our reckoning, Allah only knows billions of years, they will say, Wallahi, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have not fulfilled the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of his dhikr and ibadah. So Allah is not ordering us to do his dhikr because he needs it. Allah does not need it. So dhikr is our need. And as I said, dhikr does two things. Firstly, dhikr protects us. Dhikr is our own hifazat. How is dhikr a protection? Dhikr is protection because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innamal mu'minuna alladhina idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the mu'mineen are those who, when the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, when they remember Allah, when somebody remembers Allah in their company, their hearts shiver with the glory and majesty and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just let's reflect on this and say that if we have a heart which is like this, and obviously that is the goal, that a person is somebody whose heart responds to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one in whose heart there is no dhikr of Allah is a dead person. He said that heart is a dead heart. So when you have a heart of this condition which responds to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously such a person will never be able to commit any sin. And if he or she commits some sin out of forgetfulness and so on, which of course happens to all of us, then immediately the person will make tawbah, because the heart is responsive, the heart is alive. And the moment the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, the person is immediately contrite, the person is regretful that he has committed or she has committed the sin, and they immediately make tawbah. And as we know, the one who makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sin and immediately has it removed from his book of records. So the person goes back to a state of purity. So zikr is protection from sin. And that is the number one protection that we need. Dhikr is also protection from all kinds of fears of this world, because when you have the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, it's obvious that you cannot be fearing something else simultaneously. Because you can only have one. You can have either light or darkness in a chamber. You cannot have light and darkness simultaneously in a chamber. It's not possible. The moment light comes, darkness goes away. And if there is no light, then there is darkness. So the moment the dhikr of Allah comes, which is the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the heart, then all the darkness, which is the fear of this dunya, the fear of poverty, the fear of somebody or something harming us, and so on and so forth, all kinds of fears, they disappear from the heart. As Shaykh Ali was telling me yesterday, he said, one of the salaf said, how can I fear poverty? They asked him, do you fear poverty? He said, how can I fear poverty when my Rabb, the one who owns me, owns everything in the heavens and the earth and everything in between and everything which is beneath the earth? He said, how can I fear poverty when I have an owner, when I have a Rabb who owns everything in the heavens and on the earth and everything in between and everything under the earth? So this is the benefit of dhikr, that dhikr protects us from in this dunya, from all kinds of fears and anxieties and all kinds of regrets and sadness, and it protects us from sin, from offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The second benefit of dhikr is that dhikr is reward in itself. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give as a result of that reward is a separate thing, but dhikr is reward in itself. Because we know from many ahadith, but even before the ahadith, we know from the Quran itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. You make my dhikr, I will make your dhikr. You remember me, I remember you. And in the hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when my slave remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. And if the slave remembers me in company, then I remember him in company which is better than his company. And obviously the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, the muqarrabun of the malaika, is superior to anything that we can imagine. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will remember. Now just the important thing I remind myself and you, is that all of these things which I am telling you, nothing is new. We've heard all of this before. The key thing is to reflect on this and to think and say that when Allah is saying, I will remember you, what does it mean? What does it mean? What kind of effect will it have on us? Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any kind of example, and we do not give the example of Allah. But just to understand, if somebody comes to me or comes to you and says, yesterday so-and-so was remembering you, and the person he's referring to is some person who is wealthy or powerful, or he's the king or he's the minister or something, then it's that mention, just that news has an effect on us, that so-and-so remembered me. Yes, this is wonderful, fantastic. And I'm being mentioned in the corridors of power. I'm being mentioned in high places. Now, this is the result of this dunya. And none of those corridors of power are permanent. None of those high places are permanent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tu'izzu man tasha wa tudhillu man tasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzah, and he removes this izzah from whoever he wants as he wishes. So what is and should be the effect of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is mentioning me by name on his arsh? I think these are the things that we need to sit and reflect on and spend a lot of time by ourselves. And that's why the importance also of khilwa, of being alone, khalwa, which is being alone, which is solitude. The salaf, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and sit in the cave just to be alone, just to be by himself and to reflect and to think. So we need to take some time out from our schedules just to be by ourselves. No noise, no interference, no television, no phones, not even any family. Just by yourself, thinking, reflecting, and trying to realize the importance of, this is the difference between knowing in a sense of information and knowing in a sense of real knowledge and ilm. Ma'lumat and ilm. Knowing, we know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions me. What does that actually mean? And the knowing in terms of meaning is where there is effect in the heart and in the body. and that effect gets translated into actions. So this is what we need to think and do. Remember that zikr is protection and zikr is also a reward in itself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep us in a state of zikr. Never allow us to have our tongue even silent. Let the tongue always be moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The biggest benefit, and again one of the great protections, is that if the tongue is engaged in the zikr of Allah, then simultaneously that tongue cannot be engaged in something which is, you can't be doing ghiba and you can't be doing, you know, namima or all kinds of wrong speech, even useless speech. I mean, you may not be doing something which is, ghiba is haram, but even if you are not doing something which is haram, even useless speech, it won't be, because you are doing the zikr of Allah, your tongue is engaged in something useful, it's in something which is beneficial. That's protection and reward by itself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to remember all this and to be able to live our lives constantly in a state of zikr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state of zikr when our time comes. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.